Cool. Everyone ready?
Maybe.
We got Craig in here, so we're good that way.
We got steak in here.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let me pull my shit closer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Extendo Armo. Oh.
Now close with us.
All up in that grill.
Joining us in episode 99 of the Guardian Up podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. And this week we have just your hosts. We have Sin.
Hey.
Sin and Sin.
What?
You ready to just take over the show?
This isn't where I parked my car.
Fine. I guess Des and I will talk then also.
How you guys doing?
What's new?
I'll tell you real quick. And then I'll let Des go since I piped up first. I've been okay. We're coming up to the end of the month for work, so obviously my next week is going to be brutal. But a little bit last night and today I've been catching up on some Destiny, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit here later. But overall, well. Des, how are you?
I was about to say, as in what's new, there's kind of a giant elephant in the room on that one, but I'll skirt around that for now.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess all in all, just as codenamed in our Discord for a while, I did the thing a couple of times. And yeah.
All right, we'll definitely talk about it. Yeah, you know, just saying what's new in life or whatever. I mean, I've been watching Battlestar Galactica all day. My wife hasn't seen it yet.
Oh,
so
God, that's right. Fun.
Yeah.
I just remembered. Yeah, new episode of, seventh episode of WandaVision came out.
Okay.
And I've got to tell, for people that haven't started it, or maybe have heard that it's kind of a slow start or whatever, or if you've stopped watching it because it's kind of a slow start, binge it now.
Binge it now, okay.
Like, why now is the point to anywhere else? Like end of a season?
No, it's not even the end of the season. I don't even know how many more episodes are left because it's episode 7. I don't know if it's going to stop at 10 or 12. I don't know, like, the order list, but A, it's episode 7 and things. We still don't have all of the details of the plot, of course. For those that have watched WandaVision, you'll know they're not exactly forthcoming, but that's kind of what I like about it. And right now it's very binge-worthy because in episode 7, we actually have a clear view of like a central antagonist to the series. So that's always good. But that is just, right now is just a really good time to like binge-watch it. Unless you're waiting for the entire series to come out, which I also understand. But apparently, the final 3 episodes of WandaVision are going to be a full hour apiece. So there's that.
What are they normally? Sorry, I haven't watched any. Half an hour?
About half an hour, yeah. Half an hour to 40 minutes, roughly.
Okay.
So, yeah. The last 3 episodes are getting an extra 20 or so minutes. So, yeah.
Nice.
Good times. And I really enjoy, like, I'm a comic book nerd, so I'm really looking forward to the implications that this is going to make, because what's his name? The guy that's basically looking after the MCU, Kevin Feige, has stated that WandaVision is a direct setup to Doctor Strange 2. like what happens in WandaVision is going to carry over into that movie. So
that's good.
Yeah, if you have any interest in that movie, definitely watch this so you'll be a little more in the know. And if you're a comic book nerd, do it because, oh my God, the people, the implications are just, they're exciting. But yeah.
Well, thanks for a glowing review. Yeah.
I might have to do that.
I definitely recommend Battlestar Galactica also for anyone who hasn't watched that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good show. I feel like it's been on Netflix or other things in the past, but right now the only place I could find it for, quote, without buying it out is the Peacock service. It is free on there. Peacock is part of the NBC umbrella thing. And so it is free if you're fine watching it with the commercials. And it has the... And just a reminder, there's the mini series, the two part like little mini movies you need to watch first, and then the series starts up like a normal series with four seasons. And it's a good show. It's definitely a cult classic, and there's parts in there as you watch the show that don't obviously get to like a full Lost level, but there's some confusingness and mysteries that are all spread throughout that kind of you want to like look up on the Wikipedias and like, no, what's going on again? How does this relate? You know? So it's one of those type of shows.
Yeah.
And Nice. Speaking of other shows, I mean, you kind of just want to, okay, Bungie put out that press release this week, and just to kind of like run, you know, like a bull right into it, they said they will be bringing Destiny to other forms of media in more or less words. Do we think we might be getting a TV show or movie in the future?
Switch?
I'm actually more excited at the possibility of books, because the one thing I've definitely missed out on, the Halo craze, that a lot of, I don't want to call them super fans, but, people that were really into the story and the franchise, a lot of people raved about, like, the Halo books that had come out.
Mm-hmm.
To supplement, so I'd be really super stoked to see like some like stories fleshed out in traditional book format rather than lore.
Yeah, well, thanks for mentioning that. I mean, books also is an option. So
yeah.
Whether it's just full written or visual, like medium, but I would be fine with that too, because I think if you have it in a format like that, other than just lore, then it's something that I can actually devote time into and get into and know that I'm reading a story for a while. Whereas a lot of times with lore, I'm like, yeah, I'm reading this, but like, wait, how did it relate to the other lore pieces? Is there just like these micro segments? I'm like, oh, I got to focus.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to remember what's happening here.
Yeah. Whereas reading a book is nice, but yeah, reading Destiny lore is almost like reading Tolkien. It's like, what's he referencing? Where does that go? Does that happen before this or after this? When did the dwarves get involved?
Yeah.
Just saying, Tolkien's work has a lot of appendices.
So this all relates to that article that came out with this week called Bungie Prepares for Future Growth in 2021. And they want to bring the Destiny universe into new media, it says. And bringing people into the board of the directors from CBS. Trace Harris, Pamela Kaufman. CBS could imply that as going to be having something to do with the TV show, but that could just be not related either. It's but it's still interesting. A lot of news here. Just Bungie's growing. They talked about their new headquarters that they're building right now. It's nice. An 84,000 square feet building, but they are going to be moving to a more than 208 square foot.
Building. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
More than double the size of what they're currently at.
Yes.
And building an overseas, let me pull this up here. Where was the overseas location? Amsterdam, their first international office in 2022.
Yep. That's a curious choice.
Yeah.
I would have figured, well, I mean, Amsterdam, I guess, is UK, but, some are a little more quote unquote mainstream. England, Japan.
Yeah. Well, It says its main purpose of this location will be the company's growing publishing and marketing division. So maybe again, back to the books option or whatever.
Possibly. Still very, seems, I don't know. Like I said, it seems a very weird choice.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like they took a dart and just said, there.
Found one.
Right.
Yeah, so that's way cool. And then they also talk about, there was some wording in here too about basically keeping Destiny 2 going. And, you know, it's vague. It doesn't, it's not telling us anything specific, but it at least hints to the idea that Destiny 2 could be going, whatever form it's going to take, could be going more than the 2 years that they've already promised us, right? With Witch Queen and Lightfall, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is even on top of, we already also know that they're making another game or games, other intellectual property.
Yeah.
So lots of news here.
Indeed.
Kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, I'm stoked to actually hear about, like, I mean, a larger office, because, I mean, not long ago, we heard from Joe Blackburn that they were at least hiring, like, looking to get more staff into, like, investment and such, you know, to give us more stuff to chase a little more consistently. So it's really cool to hear that they're actually expanding to be able to contain all of that, mm-hmm. potentially, and more space for more things.
Now, it seems like it says here that Mark Noseworthy and Luke Smith, who were each respectively, Mark Noseworthy was the current vice president of Destiny Universe, Luke Smith, executive creative director. They're going to be appointed to oversee and prepare for the expansion of the Destiny Universe into additional media. Justin Truman, who is the current general manager, takes over the successful development leadership of Destiny 2. So if I'm reading that correctly, they're kind of moving a different direction, and Justin Truman will be in charge of Destiny 2.
Who knows? He might be already be.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking back, like, Luke Smith has really just been like, he found the path in life, you know? I mean, this is a dude that used to write for Kotaku, used to, I mean, he was the Deej before Deej at some point in time. And now he's about to oversee, like, multimedia projects of something he kind of helped grow. So, like I said, that's just an individual that's just, he stepped foot and he just found the right path.
Yeah, I've heard that before too. That's pretty amazing.
Right place, right time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does sound to me, from everything you were talking about in the article, that there is a positive future here for everybody. You know, maybe there's not going to be a new Destiny game, but if they are going to be keeping the Destiny 2 franchise alive and keep it growing as they've said they're going to for the next couple of years, they can pretty much do almost whatever they want with it and just keep us in the same universe without having to start over. You know, I hope it does end up like what somebody had told us before, World of Warcraft, where they've taken some things away, but then they put it all back, and it's just a giant universe of things to do. Yeah. That ultimately would be awesome.
Yes, and this brings to point an interesting topic. I know that some other podcasts are going to be talking about this somewhat. I'm not trying to steal their idea, but it's an interesting thing that everyone's kind of, this kind of brings up the topic of, what then will the Destiny future be like? Obviously, there's no way we know yet, but if we just want to have fun and speculate for like 3 minutes, do we think that after these next 2 years, will they just continue to add on another few more years of expansions and that's the method that they like? Or do we think that, like what you said, Sin, too, do you think that Bungie will ever want to make this game a more, dare I say it, monthly subscription?
I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to have the monthly subscription to have the same philosophy that WoW does about having a huge universe, basically. But, I mean, even if it did, I probably will still be paying it anyway. I'm just hoping that they build on this universe and not take it away like they have been. Maybe bring a lot of the stuff back, different capacity maybe, but just make it a growing universe. Destiny Online, if you will. Where's Gator at? I know he's listening.
But they're still calling it Destiny 2 from what they're even saying in this article, the long-term development of Destiny 2. So whatever that means, long-term can still just mean 2 more years and then they'll change its name. But
I don't know. I don't feel that's long-term enough to actually use the term long-term when exactly. It comes to game development.
Yep.
Because 2 years is almost short-term for a game development, I feel. Because, I mean, that's 2 years is, I mean, what that's like the dev cycle of a COD game, essentially, is around-ish 2 years, I believe.
Yeah,
I mean, if old stories make sense because they had so many studios, but they still had about a 2-year window to develop a new game. So that for that industry, it seems short term to me, but I could be entirely wrong.
No, it makes sense. And with people moving and positions changing a little bit, a lot of what's already they told us about these next 2 years, they've got to have mostly a plan in place. Obviously, all the development's not done yet on the game, but mostly a plan in place. So with the new people taking control, with long-term development as a term, it means probably past the 2 years. Again, I'm just kind of curious of like, will the game stay the way it is or not? My opinion real quick, it's a tough because if they made a monthly subscription and gave us more content, I'm all about that. But I kind of don't want to have that idea go upon everyone if they don't like that idea. Also, I used to think up until I read this article that I don't think Bungie ever wants to go that way because to be that type of a studio, even though, yes, you could potentially make more money, you really just have to be committed. Well, now I hear they're hiring more people. They're making they have a lot more space. So maybe they are going to be open to the idea of expanding the game and making it bigger.
I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to go beyond the next 2 years. Just from the example that Luke Smith gave us, because when he's talked about, you know, keeping it at Destiny 2, you know, because he gave a list of very successful games that stopped at 2.
That's right.
Which a lot of people took the wrong way and they're like, well, what about this game 2? Well, that one has a 3. What about Diablo 2? That one has a 3. It didn't stop at 2. But the examples he gave, such as Dota, which on his current iteration is indeed Dota 2, I mean, it's been developed for, what, 10 years now? So I believe that the initial goal is basically to just keep it going for as long as they can.
Yeah, the only
Which
concern
I'm
that
not opposed.
The only concern I'd have is they had stated, I believe, in one other article that they're not going to be bringing the Plaguelands back from the Cosmodrome. So,
well, not right now.
My interpretation, from what I've gathered, was it could be potentially not ever. So we're going to really have to wait and see how it plays out. But I'm hopeful. I am hopeful that it is exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean,
so would you like to have everything back, Sin? Assuming that technical issues aside, we can get everything back. I mean, I think most people who play Destiny 1 wouldn't be opposed to that idea if they could bring everything back eventually somehow.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I mean, will I play it religiously over and over all the old stuff? No. But is there stuff that I wouldn't mind going back and doing that I haven't done that I missed out on? What was it? Black Armory. I never got the Black Armory. I never did the, I want to call it Escalation Protocol, but it's not. The Bergusia Forge, the last part, there's a...
Oh, Christ. What was it called?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it either. But you can get an emblem. Yeah, Niobe Labs. I never completed any of that. And I kind of wanted to do the emblem. Never got around to it. And I didn't do a lot of the Black Armory stuff during that time. But that is stuff that I can certainly go back and do now as I multitask through a lot of the other content.
Well, and I'm thinking too, yes, in theory, I would like all the old stuff to come back, but in a way, it's like the scarcity of like how Disney would bring Disney movies back for a little while, then they would go away and then come back. It's like, if we have too much stuff to do, I guess that's a good thing because that's what the WoW people say, like, well, there's always something to do. But at the same time, if they kind of just bring back things in little clumps, then at least we can be somewhat focused about it and spend time on, okay, this is what we're getting this year. Let's focus on this. And yes, we would like to have it all, but it's just kind of a rotating thing. It's not like it's only going to be back for 1 month. Obviously, it's going to be back for the whole year. So this is what we get. Weekly featured raids, which hopefully is coming next. The idea next season. But, you know, yearly featured areas.
I mean, I guess what I would, of course, love, I mean, being an old MMO player, I mean, I've come from like that environment of just having way too much to do that you can actually possibly hope to do, really. Because there's always something older that you come across that you just haven't done yet. And that's the thing, because a lot of people throw out the comparison of WoW or any MMO, to be honest. But when you're throwing out something like WoW, you also have to realize that this is a monstrosity that began nearly 10 years ago? Because I think it was 03 when WoW came out?
Let's roll with that. That sounds right.
It was definitely early 2000, because I was playing EverQuest in 2002, and it was shortly after that that WoW was coming out, and of course, being the EverQuest purists were like, we're not going to play that. We're going to stick to this one.
2004, supposedly.
2004? Okay, all right. That makes a little more sense.
16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, that's 17 years of development. But what also a lot of people don't really look into is the fact that that was like four different development teams working on one game to not only maintain it, but it also to keep a steady stream of content out, which is one reason it has had a subscription charge, because, I mean, come on, it's four different dev teams legitimately working on one game. They needed extra income just to support that. But
yeah.
And I think what I don't think a lot of people realize is because there are MMOs and the fact that Destiny has been trying to follow that MMO pattern is this is the most ambitious thing that's ever been done that started on consoles. Because right now we're essentially, you know, with the vaulting and everything, I mean, we're dealing with hardware limitations of trying to put every asset on a readable hard drive and call from that hard drive rather than having, like, where an MMO uses essentially a dedicated server to contain a vast majority of that information. So, you know, there's just differences, but it would be nice. But a lot of things. To get the pipe dream of having everything and even potentially the possibility of paying a subscription and getting just content after content after content where there's no hope to catch up, there needs to be something more than Destiny 2. I don't foresee them being able to do it on this engine. Like with this setup. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense too. Wrong. Yeah, so even if it's just, okay, we get 2 more years of what we know and then some more, and then towards the end of that second year, we're like, oh, here's the next 2 year roadmap or whatever. That's still great also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm I'm definitely down for that because
yeah,
crazy to think it's almost been 10 years since some of us have started this journey and thought that 10 years was going to be impossible for this thing to stay around, right?
Yeah, that does seem weird when you think about that early on.
Yeah, because, I mean, and that was what Bungie led with, was their whole 10-year plan for Destiny. And everyone thought, really? I give it 3.
Give it 3 on a good day.
Right? And then here we are, yeah, almost 8 years later. That was, what, 14? So, yeah, going on 8 years later, or 7 years later. Ah, crap, math, years, whatever. But still, we're in like the second half of this decade-long plan, and it's crazy. It would be very nice, though, to actually have access to all that stuff just in one place.
Yeah, you know, let us know what y'all think about. I would imagine there would be some people that even maybe have played Destiny 1, and they're like, I don't really care if it all comes back. I just kind of want new stuff only. So let us know your opinions. Curious to hear.
Well, and here's the thing also, though, because if they come up with a plan to bring back old stuff, like just to pander to the people that want new things and to make them see, or not make them see, but maybe shed some light on a different perspective, if they are capable of bringing back everything and potentially making things relevant, that's less stuff to worry about bringing forward later and taking a potential dev time for new stuff, which means they have more manpower to focus on new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just food for thought, because that thought just hit me.
Yeah, and well, on that point, kind of more specifically, that's why I was a little disappointed why they kind of was saying they weren't able to finish the, forget even just the Plaguelands, like the other areas of the Cosmodrome, because I'm like, okay, yes, you're saying you need to work more on new development, but I would think, in theory, revamping the old space could take less time than making new stuff. So you're almost just kind of really indirectly telling us you just don't have enough time in general. So hire more people, make that bigger studio so we can get more content.
Well, in order for that to happen, we need more people to buy from Eververse.
Like, yes.
Well, also. So, I definitely spent some in there.
We've spent.
Oh, I definitely threw some in there. I bought 3 emotes this season. Are you kidding me?
I only did one so far, but I love it. The flashlight one. I might still buy the armor. Sin and I were talking. You bought the Titan one, right? I'm thinking about holding off, but I might buy it.
The one that kind of looks like this bull with the horns and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you got these hooves on the boots. Yeah, I bought that set. I spent $20 to get enough silver to do it.
Nice.
So I've been rocking that on the seasonal armor, and I've been not only just spending the money on the seasonal or the ornament, I've been really focusing on my armor and trying to get a set that I can masterwork to bring forward. Because my last set was pretty much half of it was outdated or would be outdated soon.
Okay.
Need random dungeons.
Yes.
Get new armor sets.
Well, I'm going to use, I think, the seasonal ones. I've been masterworked one piece so far, and I got it set up, and I'm using Scott's little cheat sheet of 2 arc to bring up. Yeah.
But are you getting
powerful friends and radiant light?
Yep.
Are you getting pretty good drops, though? Because usually the dungeons have a better chance of giving good stats than the seasonal armor.
Yeah, I heard. So I think what you really need to go for is something, a base stat of 60 plus, right? 60.
Well, that's just
around.
Yeah.
That's a minimum, just rule of thumb. But if it's all in stats you don't care about, then not necessarily. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, the most important. Yeah, definitely get a game plan of stats that are important to you. I'm sorry, I started this entire thing off wrong. Ideally, get armor that's high in intellect and recovery. Ideally, regardless, usually, of class, because those are the most expensive mod slots to mod up.
That's a good way to think about it. I didn't even think about it that way. I forgot about that. But even also because I like that on Warlock. Recovery is very good on Warlock and Intellect, of course.
Oh, yeah. Supers. Well, yeah, because recovery is important on a Warlock anyway, because that governs... Well, because that's part of the whole dichotomy of what other stats you're really looking for in armor is what's important to your class? What's important for your class ability? So recovery for Warlocks, resilience for Titans, and then mobility for Hunters. Because pretty much the only people that really want mobility are Hunters. You might want some on other classes just to help like your strafe speed and whatnot, but you don't want it high because you're not getting as much out of it as a Hunter is. Whereas resilience and recovery, Hunters are just kind of screwed because resilience and recovery have their uses everywhere, but yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been looking more into armor also, Sen. I hear you, what you're saying, and
yeah, it's a lot to keep up with, for sure. My main focus was just getting something that I'm going to be able to have around for the next year. So I think I'm going to get that when it's all said and done. Plus, I've been hoarding materials with no need to be really doing that. Because I end up using them, and then they mean nothing. Just like the materials that went away. They took all the sunsetted planets. All those materials went away.
They're not sunset. They're
what? You cut out.
No, I stopped talking because.
Oh.
being an old MMO guy, like, terminology usually peeps me. They're legitimately not sunsetting planets. Sunsetting is a term for. They're literally taking planets away from us. That's not what sunsetting is. They're removing content.
Well, yes.
It is funny you mentioned that, Des, because. No, I agree, because. People are still saying they're taking our weapons away from us instead of sunsetting, and then they're using sunsetting for the planets when they're taking the planets away.
It's like, I'll go through Twitter, it's like, I wonder what other activities are going to sunset. It's like, no, they're not sunsetting activities. They're just legit taking those out and saying, they'll probably come back.
So sunsetting weapons, removing planets, content.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, because sunsetting is just a nice term for the uglier word in most communities of power creep. And power creep is basically meaning your weapons have an expiration date, or your items have an expiration date. And whatever new hotness comes out, something old has to go.
And the only expiration is being able to level them up to the highest amount.
Exactly. Which
they're not expired with being able to use with lesser activities.
Which I find it hilarious that a lot of people are like, oh, but sunsetting just won't work. But yet, you'll go to WoW and say how great that works. Well, guess what? RPGs use sunsetting by default. Just saying, you know?
Yeah.
Your new hotness that you spent 6 months working on, like grinding out to finish out, guess what? In the next 6 months, probably going to be about worthless. Just saying. That's Zelda. The nature of MMOs.
The latest Zelda game has weapons that break very quickly. They're sunset within minutes. Well, I know it's just, I'm being funny, but obviously a lot of it has to do with what we were used to. And then they made this change, but I think it's a good change. Still, the jury's out how it'll affect me all the way, but I'm still on board with it.
I mean, but still hilariously, like Destiny started with sunsetting. Like D1 vanilla weapons were useless come Crota.
Yeah.
Those weapons were useless come House of Wolves. House of Wolves is what screwed us over. Because the whole Ascendant Shard and bringing weapons back from like whenever that led to the infusion idea. House of Wolves is what screwed us over and like spoiled us for weapons. But yeah, that's that.
So what are we all working on these days in the game? I want to talk about, of course, the seasonal weekly things again. Sin, live update. What are you doing right now in the game?
Lots and lots and lots of Gambit.
I didn't have to do that much. Are you plebbing it?
No, I want the Gilded title.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so it wasn't just for the weekly.
No. It's only the only Gilded title that I'll be able to get, so I'm working on it. And I'm actually going to be fairly close by the end of the night. But I'll tell you real quick. So the Gilded title you need this season, Guardians you defeat as an invader in Gambit, and you need it grenade launcher takedowns. You need it number of invaders. So there's six total, and then one's an infamy reset. Then you need 50 wins and then 10 wins, either having you didn't die or dealt the most damage or banked the most motes. I have four of the six done, and I'm halfway through my wins, and I got almost a reset because of the extra infamy this week.
Nice. And that's for the Gilded Dredgen, right?
Gilded Dredgen, yes.
Yep.
And other than that, so I've been getting, been working on, what are they? The aspects. I've been doing a little bit with those. I think I have one more left to get. I have two of the three salvo ornaments. And I think that's probably about it. We ran, you and I ran, I'm sure Des ran it too, the Presage mission.
Yeah.
And I ran it again tonight with Nalsy. So I finally got one with a random roll.
Nice.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Let's talk about the Prasaz mission. Also, I was going to
ask about,
real quick, what did we think about the running showdown this week? I don't even know if I've ever been in that freaking playlist.
I know I haven't, and I had an awful time.
Yeah, it was, especially on PC, it was awful. PS4 was not as bad. PC was bad.
I mean, I didn't mind it. No matter how bad it goes, the game seemed to go fairly quick. Am I just imagining that?
Yeah. No. It's not an awful game. It's just, hilariously, I went in, like, to do the thing. I went in, it was my first time ever doing Showdown, because I never paid it any attention when it came around. But, went in, I actually won the first match, and I'm like, all right, this seems a little tense to go solo. So I found, hooked up with Kato. We ran some more showdown. But the very first showdown match, it's me and Kato. Running trials, like to get the pulse rifle for hours. Like my first showdown match with Kato, I ran into the sweatiest group of players. Like, oh my god, they were, and I couldn't really complain, because I mean they were just tryhards and they had like best equipment and like they knew what to do and they were tactical and crap, and we just couldn't do nothing. Like, legitimately, we had no hope.
Ugh. Yeah. Hey, but this seasonal weekly challenges have really been working out well, because they're getting all of us to hop into these things. Mm-hmm. That's why I hope down the road they also have one that says just complete three trials games, or even please complete a raid. I know people won't want to see that, but I do.
Yeah, that's no problem. Just take them through.
Yeah.
We were talking to someone, I think it was Lairman.
Kentucky, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Ninja ran, like, we did Ninja Muffin ran a bunch of, like, dungeons with him, and she mentioned him hopping into a raid, and he's like, well, I think I'm going to wait until y'all get it down to a science, that way you just kind of carry me through.
Little does
and
he
we
know.
we both just laughed, and it's like, yeah, we got that. You can join whenever. Just,
yeah, we've had that for weeks.
Yeah. There's at least 8 people that I can, like, think of, like, offhand that can just easily accomplish that, so.
Well, that's, again, we have to remind people then that aren't sure. I guess not everyone still knows that, or still has heard that this raid, Deepstone Crypt, has been the raid that everyone should hop into. It's easier mm-hmm. than some raids in the past, but it's not dumb easy. It's still fun. It's a raid that many, many, many people have gotten clears and were willing to help other people get clears. It's not like some super try-hard raid. So yeah, your point is valid. Everyone should hop in. This is the time to do it. It was already the time to do it like a month ago. We all know it well.
And all drops are still pinnacle, so.
Exactly.
Power climb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, there's tons and tons of people that know it like the back of their hands by now. I mean, it's just go in there, like grab a group. You know, if you're feeling that insecure, request a Sherpa. There's plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, easy loot, no problem. Especially if you get five people that know how to run it, easy loot, no problem. Like we told, Airman, it's like 90% of that raid, you can literally have someone, like, for everything but the final encounter, you can have at least one person just sit there. It's like, okay, you just shoot stuff. We'll take care of the rest.
which at first glance to me sounds like a horrible idea, but the raid makes it very welcoming. And so the people that are new then want to start learning those things by the second or the third time. So it's not like they're just staying back the whole time. Like, oh, I'm never going to learn. You know, they actually do learn, and it's pretty easy to learn. Yeah.
And most of the people that we have up and running have no issue teaching roles. So if you ever get interested, let someone know. I mean, especially if I'm in the group, I'll definitely advocate, you know, learning.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fun.
So is it just me, or does it seem like the season's going longer than it's only the second week?
It's because we got the freaking exotic drop. I mean, legitimately, it makes it feel like we've been in the season for so long, because we normally don't get that the second week of a season.
Yes, we got the exotic drop for Dead Man's Tale, the Presage Mission, second week in, and boy, it is a doozy. It's a fun mission.
Hilariously, the same day we put up the episode and was talking very roundabout about Dead Man's Tale. Timing. Thanks, Bungie.
Worked out perfect, if you don't mind.
Right? Kind of did, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was still new enough. I mean,
man, Sin, where is it one of those days again? Wherever like these big missions drops, and I mean, I know a lot of people are at work. Luckily, I wasn't expecting anything during reset, but some resets, I try to keep like Tuesdays and Fridays as more like work at home days, just in case, you know. And well, Friday just because Friday, but like all this news starts coming out and on the Discords and the spoiler channels, and you're probably like, what is this? A new mission. It's awesome. Everyone hop in.
I missed a lot of it at the beginning of the day. Right. So it didn't really infect me until later that night. But yeah, we did jump in Tuesday night, I believe.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You and I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Des. I ran it with so many times now. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no, yeah. We ran it Saturday for one of my extra runs, I believe. Sunday. Saturday. No, yeah, today's Sunday. Yesterday? Friday?
So many days.
Well, right? Anyway. So, it is this awesome mission. If you, for some reason, have not hopped in it yet, do so. Even just solo at first to experience it. Even if you do not finish it on your own, just try to get in there, experience it. In some ways, solo is better. And then if you need help passing it with the crew, there's many people that will gladly go in with you. But it is this... I know it's not the Dreadnought, but I just love the idea of going to a ship for a mission in space, right?
Right.
And so you see the loading when it's loading up, and you see flying down, quote, you know, you're not flying down, but, you know, going to the ship as your landing zone. And this is the mission on board the ship. And just so many things right off just really struck me as amazing. You see your ship in the background, and if you're with the fire team, you will see all... two or three of the ships.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. But it ends up being this mission, for lack of any other term, Cabal ghost ship.
Right.
With freaky stuff going on.
I mean, yeah, people have been wondering, what's Kallus been up to since the darkness came? Did the darkness take him? TLDR? No.
He nope. Was already gone.
No, that's the thing. He's actually mad about that. The darkness apparently promised him something, and now he's ticked off because it came, it went, it left him behind.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing's crazy. Like, I love the narrow corridors. I love the little puzzles that you have to solve in it. There's the action scenes, you know, where you're fighting. There's squishy.
All I heard is you want to play that are trying right to kill now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. My highest recommendation, like, if you haven't done it, you can solo it pretty well. At least up until the boss, where I figure even solo players will have issues of the final encounter. But go in there solo, go in there blind, and crank your music and sound up to like 10. Oh my goodness. The atmosphere and everything. Oh.
I was super impressed. I was just giddy when I was doing this solo. I'm like, wow, this is new, but still familiar. I love how they brought the Scorn enemy type back. I mean, this was already kind of spoiled, so I'll just say that. But I love how the Scorn are back in a great way. I love how just you have to do these puzzles and
yeah
walls squeezing in on you. I was laughing all giddy during that part. I'm like, that's brilliant. They brought that in.
yeah, because I think it was that day. Because I was like, for some reason, that Tuesday, I was like disconnected from Discord. I like didn't have any pings, and I don't know, I just hadn't looked at Discord that much that day. Then I get home and start looking at Discord, and I see it has gone crazy with information, and I'm just like, well, what the crap is happening? And I end up like, yeah, it was me, Lumen, and Kato that night that ended up like going into it blind. And oh my God, all three of us were like just so on edge because we all had our sound cranked up and everything. It was just fantastic.
The screams running at you. I think Sin took a couple for the team when we were playing with him.
That's right. I did.
Pull the levers. Do your Titan job as a Titan and pull the levers.
And running earlier today, I was actually doing pretty well against them. I was using a shotgun and getting them before they got me.
Well, good.
Salvager Salvo is your friend against creeps.
Oh, I still need to get that.
In fact, Salvager Salvo is your friend against 90% of the hits, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good. Anyway.
And Anarchy can be pretty good too, right?
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of options. Witherhorde's really good also, I've heard.
Yeah, I mean,
Xenophage is good. It just depends on your style, what you want to use.
I mean, I've definitely attuned to the old new hotness of using a Stasis Hunter with Mask of Bacchus combined with Anarchy. Oh. For those hunters that don't know that good word, give it a try. So good. You just see most bosses just health just start just pinging away. It's like bye-bye. Oh, it's so fun. It's like kind of becoming my new like gambit go-to. So I'll run a Dord and Anarchy. Like put like three shots of Anarchy on the Gambit boss, shift out to increase arc damage and start pegging away at it with a Dord. Oh, so satisfying. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I love Anarchy still. And I'm not even a hunter, but yeah, I love Anarchy still. Oh, so, and then I wanted to bring up a Reddit post. Not Lance Reddick. A Reddit post. That someone was just kind of, I mean, this isn't news. A lot of us heard this in the mission, but they just kind of wanted to speculate on what it means. But during the beginning of the mission, Osiris mentions that there is one other life form aboard the ship, you know, besides us. This implies that the Scorn do not register as living beings, as we know. And also it means that the locus of communion isn't alive. So who else is on that ship?
You got to think, the Scorn are actually the first like undead creatures in Destiny. Yeah. They are dead fallen that are animated by corrupted ether. So, yeah, understandably, no, they're not.
And it's not particularly the dead at the end. He's long gone, they even say.
Maybe. I mean, they say he has no light left. Just saying. It's being strung up of something. Creepy as crap.
That was pretty amazing. I mean, we know there's some, we don't know everything, but we're obviously going to come back and there's going to be more things that we can scan and more areas we can explore. We know there's a part underneath the final bridge. People are even speculating Kallus is there. I don't know. I mean, the speculation's wild at this point.
Nah, he left.
But
the lore, because I looked up some of it, some of the logbooks. Yeah, he screwed around with the Scorn, and he's pretty much done with that ship. So I can safely say, I don't think it's Kallus. Even though we might actually get to see the real Kallus eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently is not a pretty sight, according to that lore book. Ooh.
Yeah. And I think he even says there's at least one other life form, so it could be even multiple.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's the plans that are stringing up the Hunter.
Now, what's with the different lines that people are saying? Maybe I'm dense and I'm not noticing anything else. Where in the mission do we hear other lines of other people talking?
I know for sure. The first time we experienced, because again, like running it in a group of three, we had a gamut. We had different. I think each of us experienced a different voice. I know the first one happened for us. The encounter in the hangar. After you finish it and you go outside, of course, we were screwing around a little bit. So I don't know the timing, but whenever you're transferring from one hangar to the next, in that transitional area is where we heard our first voice.
Well, yeah, I heard something there too. That sounded like a little, like it was a muffled on comms, like Guardian, something like that. But I thought that was the same each time too.
No, those are different.
Okay.
Because I personally heard Kallus. Kato heard Sagira, I think. No, Kato heard Cade, and I think Lumina heard Sagira. So, yeah.
Okay.
There are hallucinatory voice lines in this mission, and it's creepy as crap.
Oh, yeah. So Osiris is the main one then, so I wasn't smoking.
Osiris is actually talking to you and like guiding you through the Glycon, which is the name of the ship.
Yeah.
Which, like a dummy, I didn't realize until close to the end of our run. So, it's called the Glycon. Okay. So I was trying to figure out what the Glycon was. I thought Osiris was making up words.
Now,
he'd do that.
Those the hallucinating portion of it, the voices, is it? I heard somewhere that it was all people that have passed or no longer have light.
That would Sagira be true for Kate Sagira. But Kallus never had light.
That's why I thought when I read that, and you mentioned we would see Kallus, I'm thinking like...
But I thought
he passed, or he might be passed.
Oh, no, Kallus is still alive, 100%. Like I said, the lore book connected to this event tells us that Kallus is not dead at all. The darkness has not taken him. Like I said, he's mad that the darkness left him because it promised him something. And what he viewed as a god in the darkness has effectively lied to him. So now he is disillusioned in the darkness. He no longer holds it in as high as a regard, and which is why he's experimenting on the Scorn to, I guess, try and take darkness for his own. I guess. I haven't read everything, but that's kind of my gist. And it's some hefty lore entries, too. Like, they go on for a while. Which is, like I said, because in the lore book, there is a hunter that Kallus calls on. And that particular hunter actually gets to see the real Kallus. Which, for some reason, the imagery they use in the lore book kind of puts me in mind of, like, Emperor Palpatine, you know, after the dark side of the Force has taken on him, and he just looks, like, really sickly and such, and, ugh. It's yeah. like the imagery puts in my head for Kallus right now. Which is why he talks through statues, because he looks like crap. And he wants to be... I mean, he's your classic, like, picture of Roman indulgence. He wants to be seen for the glory, for, you know, his peak of glory. He doesn't want to be seen as any kind of weak or pitied or anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're definitely getting, like, some Kallus information out of this. Yeah, he's 100% not dead. He's not working with the darkness at all. Because I would say anymore, but he never really did to begin with. He was just chilling out, waiting for the promise of something to happen. And now that promise is broken, and he's like, well, screw you, I'm doing things on my own now.
Oh, well, it's definitely a cool experience so far this season, and can't wait to see how this mission unlocks and whatever else we have to do, which we also, I mean, we didn't even talk about, you know, there's the new battleground that opened up in the Cosmodrome. And then we're getting another one next week in Nessus. I thought we already had one in Nessus, but they keep saying Nessus.
Maybe there's another one.
Yeah, I guess. I thought it was the Dreaming City when I saw the calendar picture, but I guess I was wrong on that.
I don't know.
Maybe we're all confused. Maybe we're all confused.
Right.
All confused. Too much going on.
All I know is I'm having way too much fun with my Dead Man's Tale. That's all I know. Which
it is fun.
Yeah, you get it from Presage. 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 However you want to say it.
One of the above.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting weapon, because it's definitely I feel like it's the first true successor to the Last Word that we've had. Because Last Word was kind of a gun made on spaghetti western archetype, right? Fanfire, you know, the gunslinger pulls back the hammer so he can fire really fast from the hip and be able to take out like 20 people without missing anything. Western archetype. And that's what, like, the Last Word embodies, is that archetype. Well, one thing I forgot is there's a bunch of weapons that Westerns like to do that with, one of which is lever action rifles. So, which we have now.
Oh, yeah.
Called Dead Man's Tale, and it's fantastic. Oh, so good.
Hey, one other thing I noticed in the mission was that Bungie seemed to have clarified the pronunciation of the area in the Leviathan that we used to always call the Castellum. Did you notice how Osiris pronounces it?
Yeah, it was Castellum.
Yeah, Castellum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Castellum, like we would always say.
I mean, life has changed dramatically with that saying.
I know, right? Because
I always think it's interesting when Bungie clarifies things, because also, remember Season of Opulence and the Menagerie? That's how Bungie pronounced it in their trailer, but everyone kept saying Menagerie a lot of times too. So I don't know. Yeah. I just think it's interesting when Bungie pronounces,
Yeah, and then you have different cultures, and then you just have different possibilities of putting emphasis on the wrong syllable. So, you know.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. I just found it was interesting, though. I was like, oh, Castellum. At first, it kind of went past my head. I was like, and then I was thinking about the word again. Wait. Oh, Castellum, what we would, you know.
Yeah.
Just interesting to me. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, I love having moments like that of, like, having solid confirmation of how something is pronounced. Because, again, I tend to be a stickler for verbiage and such, so having a hard confirmation is kind of happy for me, because it's like, oh, yeah, it's Castellum. Okay, gotcha, cool. Try to keep that in mind. Probably yeah. won't, but
I know.
For all not that it matters, because
I know not that it matters. It's gone. Remember the good old days when we used to raid in the Castellum? It doesn't even right. matter. It's gone.
Right. It's like, thanks, Osiris. You're about a year late. God.
All right. A couple things I just wanted to mention. You know, there's some interesting bug reports that you should be aware of. And if you're trying to work on the Tico's Divination for its, let's say you have the... geez, what's the thing called now before it's masterworked? You know, the catalyst. Yes. The kills do not count if you get explosion kills. So you need to reverse course when you are working on the actual catalyst and try to not get any of the explosion kills, just get straight kills with it.
Must be a crucible thing because I've only got 20 out of 50.
I know. No, it's a step after that. Step after that.
Really? Just getting,
when that's the quest you have to finish to get the catalyst, and then the catalyst just says get kills.
Yep.
Interesting. So,
yeah,
I still got to get my crucible kills on.
What's that?
Didn't Sunspot or something have that similar problem with catalyst, to where the explosions weren't counting as
appropriate
kills or something? There was another weapon that had an explosion effect that had a similar problem, but I don't think it was Sunspot, but I can't think of many more weapons that Sunshine. Make people explode.
Or Polaris Lance.
I don't think... I think that was it, actually. Because I think there was something wrong with the Perfect Fifth.
And the Perfect Fifth thing. Yep.
Yeah.
That was annoying anyways, and then it wasn't even looking great.
Or maybe if someone knows what I'm talking about, that... Because apparently I don't,
this is definitely Polaris Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had a heck of a time getting that done before Beyond Light released.
Like I said, it just sounds familiar.
Another bug that seems interesting to me, I don't think I've run across it, but they say anti-barrier scout rifle mods may behave inconsistently with certain scout rifles. I feel like it's always worked for me, but something to keep in mind, just in case.
I mean, I've moved on to anti-barrier sniper by now, but... But no, like every scout I've used has been spot on, so I don't know.
Yeah, that one may be not a big issue.
Unless someone's trying to use something sunset that is really weird. I don't even know what that would be. Or maybe... I don't know, maybe an exotic? I don't know.
Randy's, maybe?
Maybe.
Is that even sunset?
It is sunset. Yes.
But at the same time, it's just a rapid fire. So if you have a problem with that, you would have problems at a trustee as well.
Who knows?
I know, right? That just makes me curious as to what these certain weapons are.
Well, live update. Sin is still in Gambit. Getting any closer?
Yeah, I'm at 14.8. So I'm like really close to my reset.
Nice.
So one more win will give me my reset, and then I just need a bunch more wins in order to get the final triumph.
Yeah. So you're saying by next podcast, hopefully you'll have good news to report.
Yeah, I mean, I should have the gilded title by then. The wins, I think, will be the easier portion. I'm just worried about the points because that one can take a long time, and it felt like it's taken a long time up to this point. And thank goodness for the, what is it, double or triple infamy right now?
Oh. Double for sure, for now. Triples don't normally happen until late season. Normally.
All the infamy.
Yeah. So anybody who's trying to get it during the infamy, by the time you hear this, it'll probably already gone. But it's definitely a good time to get it because of that, the infamy boost.
I'm taking my time with it. I'm not really rushing. I will be starting to invade with everyone's best friend, or I have started. So I expect to get hate mail in my near future for invading with Eyes of Tomorrow.
I haven't even used that weapon yet.
Oh, it is Let me tell you what. It may have a bug that makes it an absolute dog crap for damage in most PvE activities right now. But I'll tell you one thing, it murders super efficiently. That's Guardians.
Yeah, you got to try it at least once. I even did that in Gambit at least once. Got an army of one. I'm like, oh, this is interesting, but I still don't like to invade a lot, so I kind of just moved away from it. I actually
felt really good because I think it was earlier today. I actually countered an Eyes of Tomorrow got invader.
Oh, nice.
It was on the map that has the drill on one side and like the little hole in the other side, and they connect to each other through teleporters. Anyway,
I'm on that one now.
I believe that's Nessus. But anywho, so I was on the left-hand side in caves, and I was standing in front of like this pillar, and I see the invader. We like lock eyes, and he's just standing there for a second. I'm like, he's about to eyes me, isn't he? So I take two steps to my right, hide behind the pillar, hear the explosions. I peek back out. He's still just standing there. I take two steps back to the right. I hear explosions. And then he finally starts rushing me. It's like, ha ha.
That's great.
Yeah, it tickled me. Anyone who's died to eyes would love to have a moment like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. But you're supposed to shoot it up in the sky, like Gator says, and it'll get everyone 100% of the time.
Definitely not, actually. Having used it a few times, I definitely see how it works. And like, because the missiles shoot out like, let's say, less than 5 meters in front of you, and like hang in the air for a hot second. So wherever they're hanging in the air, they'll use that trajectory to track down to or towards a target. So the higher you are, the more advantage you have, like 100%, because it's less obstacles get in the way of the trajectory. But just like expecting everything to go proper when you have maps with massive amounts of geometry, it's not that dumb.
I know. We see that with the bow too. There's plenty of times where I've locked onto targets and the ads just move behind something, and they didn't get picked with the bow. So it happens.
Yep.
Well, anything else, gentlemen, you want to talk about this week? Otherwise, we'll start thinking about wrapping it up. We'll probably have a longer episode next week.
I'm definitely going to say. I know I'm the weapon guy. I'm saving one reason why I'm not going into Dead Man's Tale like in any more detail right now is because I'm going to wait and see what the catalyst does for it and how that affects it. But as of right now, Dead Man's Tale is an excellent, essentially high-impact scout rifle to use. It's very nice. It's very clean. It's just good all around. You should use it. Also, I have started work on the spreadsheet again, so.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice. I am done. I have finished recataloging auto rifles, handguns, and pulse rifles. And that's it right now.
All right.
But I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I'm moving on to scout rifles next.
It's working. Sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It legitimately took me 4 hours, I think, to redo my pulse rifles and add in the new ones.
Ooh.
So yeah, but like I said, I'm definitely getting there. I'm definitely striving to put some more effort into that, and yeah, so that's being worked on. So that's going to be a near future thing. So yeah, but potentially actually next podcast. So
yeah,
if so, we'll have a link.
Indeed.
Well. Did you gentlemen know that we're pretty much at our 2-year mark?
I know. I just go ahead.
I was about to say I've been here a year.
And I told my wife earlier, I said, you know what's crazy? That we're about episode 100, and she says, okay. Said,
she's still doing it.
She says, I told her, I was like, that means 2 years I've been recording this podcast. She said, has it been that long? I was like, oh, yes, it's been that long. Once per week.
Yeah, I mean, technically, from whenever we recorded it, we released our first episode on March 26th, 2019, but still, we're close. And 100 episodes is kind of where people mark benchmark 2 years. Yeah, so it's pretty much, we're there. So do people usually end about 110 then?
Right.
What's our exit plan? No.
What's exit strategy?
I don't know, but we're going to be having fun, I'm sure, with episode 100. And then we'll... But it's not like we'll necessarily have another big exotic mission to talk about, but we'll have fun nonetheless. So,
right.
Hopefully we'll always, have...
If, right. Yeah, we'll have fun to talk. Yeah, we'll have
a good guest. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if anyone has anything they want us to talk about on the show, please let us know in the Discord podcast suggestions idea channel. We'd much
use hashtag big 100.
Big 100.
But big 100. Hashtag big 100 in the Discord. Yeah, hashtags don't matter. I don't care. Use it.
Are you saying that we've put on 100 pounds in 2 years?
Sure.
That could be possible.
I mean, you added me to the podcast, and I'm a minimum of 100 pounds, so.
Well, I was thinking about, like, between the three of us, have we collectively gained 100 pounds over the last 2 years?
I mean, I don't know about y'all. I think I've maintained.
Nice. I would like to think I've maintained, but I probably put in a couple.
You're right.
probably. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll keep this going as long as we can. So give us interesting ideas. If you know any guests that you want on the show, we will try and contact them. You know, no problems, we can get them on, but occasionally guests come to us. Occasionally I have an idea or someone else has an idea of who to contact. But if you know someone, and we've had good, like Patty Cakes was a suggestion from Nolsey, I believe. And yeah, we have great suggestions from time to time. So let us know. If you want us to get on Luke Smith, then try to retweet it a million times so we actually can.
I mean, if you want Luke Smith and you have a business email we could reach him at, well, at least there are a couple hundred that way.
Exactly.
There's software we can use to essentially DDoS him. No, I'm kidding. I mean, there is, sure, but we're not going to do that, though, because that might put us on a list. And
yeah,
we might not be able to log into Destiny anymore. Oh, these guys. Okay, all right.
All we need to do is play Escape from Tarkov. That's what Lupo did, right?
Yeah. Oh. Well, let's do our sign out. So, Sin, where can people get a hold of you, good sir?
They can find me occasionally twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin is C-Y-N, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, tell the lovely folks where they can find you.
Hi, I'm Raven. I'm a Cancer. Take that as you will. But you can find me on Twitter at DES_Raven, and of course you can find me lurking around in the Discord where I say things.
Lots of them.
Sometimes. Usually in very long bursts, like when I found out about bounce intensity and what it actually means to the stats and such. That was a fun day, actually. So, yeah.
Nice. We will do that. Hi, I'm Kingsley. I'm a Libra.
I guess I should say I'm a Pisces.
Yes, now we know all three. And you can find me as Kingsley Mac most places except for Twitter. I am MC Kingsley. But more importantly, you can find our show. Two of the best places to find it is either A, on Twitter as The Guardian Hub, or B, through our lovely website, theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Only if Sin says that, though. If he doesn't say it 1 week, then it becomes...
null and void.
Yeah.
Nullsian void.
It's like a warranty. It takes off the sticker if we don't say it.
Yes. If it is not... If a tree falls in the forest and you don't hear it, whatever that saying is. Yeah. Well, anyways, we really appreciate everyone who continues to tune in. This is episode 99. We're signing off, and next week will be 100, and we really appreciate it. And everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Stay magical.
Bye.